Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to Euskaltel's first quarter 2017 results investor call. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a question and answer session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing zero one, again, zero and one on your telephone keypad at any moment during this presentation. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. Francisco Arteche, CEO of Euskaltel. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Morning for those in the U.S., and thanks for being with us today. I'm joined by the CFO, Jonander de las Fuentes, and the Head of IR, Aitor Marcaida. I'd like to start this short presentation with the key strategic highlights of the first quarter of 2017, and then hand it over to Jonander to cover specific operating and financial detail, and then wrap up with some conclusion and a Q&A session. Before I start, and as an opening statement concerning what has been made public about Telecable, we will not comment beyond what has already been declared. As you all will agree, when these statements are made public, it is our duty to remain silent and not make any comment about the potential transaction that could lead into a potential misunderstanding. I would nevertheless just add that conversations remain ongoing, and we will duly inform the market as soon as a decision has been formally taken. Let's move to slide one, and let me now start with the key highlights of the period. Firstly, from a market perspective, we have experienced two different competitive realities within the quarter. We entered 2017 with a continuation of the aggressive discounted offerings that started at the end of 2016. This had a negative impact on churn until the end of January, when offerings aggressiveness softened. Price increase was announced and new customers were captured. If we zoom in within the quarter, we see a clear positive trend month after month, which we believe will continue in the coming quarters and will help us meet the medium-term guidance conveyed to the market. Secondly, we managed to successfully migrate our cable customers to the new host. We can now proudly say that we have around 440,000 mobile lines enjoying 4G and 4G+ coverage in Galicia. As a consequence of the different footprint of the new host, we have worked with Orange to ensure that we provide first-quality services. We've also reinforced our retention and customer care services, aiming to minimize the loss of customers, which finally amounted to 1,200 fixed and 400 mobile-only customers. It's worth noting that these final numbers imply strong results, with only 0.6% of the migrated customers leaving the company versus 1.9% of leavers in our previous migration back in 2014 with Euskaltel. Overall, the one-off impact of this loss of subscribers, in combination with the extraordinary increase in marketing costs, amounts to 1 million euros. Despite all this, our KPIs experienced a good performance and were in line with previous quarters. We achieved record high RGU penetration in mobile, TV, and broadband. The residential ARPU met a record at 58.57 euros, which is 1 euro more than the same period last year, on the back of continued upselling with 3P and 4P penetration standing at 66.5% in the first quarter of 2017 versus 64.3% in the first quarter of last year. Total revenue and EBITDA were impacted by the decline in the business segment with the loss of the Basque government contract. Overall, EBITDA margin in the quarter stood at 48.8%, which is slightly above that of the same period of the previous year. Our business, as usual, churn rate stood at 15.1%, slightly better than the previous quarter. Also, as pointed out before, we suffered the one-off impact of an additional 1% related to the host migration. Consequently, the total year-to-date churn rate stood at 16.1%, and that was higher than our expectations. Continuing with point four, I'd like to highlight the efficient cost management and synergy delivery. We managed to bring direct costs down by 3.7% compared to last year, despite mobile data consumption growing by 67%. With regards to synergies, we can confirm that we are on track with the implementation. Most relevant results to date include new terms of the new mobile host agreement, the change in handset commercial strategy in Galicia by removing subsidies, the renegotiation of key supply agreements, and additional quick wins such as customer care efficiencies and the removal of duplicities. All in all, we feel comfortable to meet our synergy targets, which, as you already know, initial estimates were revised upwards by 15%. And the last point is our strong cash flow generation, which has allowed us to distribute dividends for the first time. Our cash conversion rate stood at 32% of revenue and 66% of EBITDA. 45 million euros of cash flow or of operating cash flow were generated in the first quarter of 2017, which allows for the payment of the 22.8 million announced as interim dividend, which represents 0.15 euros per share, while keeping the leverage level. The free cash flow in the first quarter of 2017 amounted to 28.6 million euros versus 19.5 million euros in the previous year, and that represents a 47% growth. And finally, during the last 12 months, we've been able to reduce debt by 135 million, bringing leverage down to 4.2 times EBITDA, coming from 4.8 times in the first quarter of 2016. If we move on to page two, let me quickly summarize our reported consolidated results for the quarter compared to those of last year and last quarter. Our total revenue decreased by 1.6% year-on-year, closing at 139.5 million euros. As we will see in the next slide, this negative performance is essentially driven by the loss of the contract with the Basque country government. Our EBITDA reached 68 million euros with a margin improvement of 10 basic points versus last year, reaching a 48.8%. Our operating cash flow stood at 44.8 million, representing a 5.2% increase versus the last quarter. We will analyze all these key items in detail in the coming slides, so let me hand over to Jonander to cover the operational and financial slides.
Thank you, Patxi. Let's now move to page four to see the evolution of the residential segment in more detail. Our residential subscriber base reached 469,000 at the end of the quarter. This includes the one-off loss from the migration to the new host in Galicia. If we were to isolate this impact, residential subscribers would have grown by 500 in the quarter on the back of more than 18 gross additions, including 1,500 net addition of broadband subscribers. Consequently, as anticipated before, business as usual churn rate stood at 15.1%, below the previous quarter, but increases to 16.1% if we consider the one-off impact of an additional 1% in connection with the host migration. Now, turning to slide 5, you will see that our successful mobility and bundling strategy continues to drive our healthy ARPU growth. If you have a look at the first chart on the left, you will see that our mobility strategy resulted in more than 53,000 new mobile lines in the year, more than 7.4%. As of today, over 78% of our residential customers have at least one mobile phone with Euskaltel, versus less than 24% 1 year before. The chart in the middle shows that Euskaltel bundling strategy continues to deliver sustained growth in upselling with triple and quadruple penetration reaching 66.5% and broadband and TV penetration reaching record highs of 84.5% and 58.5% respectively. As a consequence of our increasing mobile penetration and bundling strategy, jointly with upselling linked to an improved value offered to us, to our customers, ARPU has grown to 58.6 euros in the quarter. Finally, it's important to highlight the market trends towards a more for more value proposition. Within the operations pursuing this strategy, Euskaltel has been, if not the most, one of the most conservative in terms of price increase and product upselling. In this context, we are currently reviewing the next steps to be implemented in line with this more for more value proposition. Let's now move to page 6 to see the evolution of the business segment in more detail. Total business revenue stood at 39 million euros, which represent a 3 million euros drop versus the last year, mainly explained by the loss of the Basque government contract. This drop was partially compensated by the good performance of the SOHO segments, whose revenue grew by 1%, reaching 17.5 million euros. Such growth is the consequence of our positive net additions of 600 subscribers in the year, representing a growth of 1%, reaching 88,900 in first quarter 2017, and the consistent increase in triple and quadruple plays bundle penetration from 49.9% in the first quarter of 2016 to 55.3% in the first quarter of this year. We are fully conscious of the necessity to implement the new initiatives aiming to strengthen the SMEs and large accounts subsegment. In this context, we can say that we have captured new SMEs business volume above market average and expect its associated revenue to materialize in the coming months. We are also working to adapt the data center offering and are implementing several projects to integrate Azure and AWS services. In the next months, we will be introducing new bundle offers specially designed for these sub-segments. As an example of this strategy, today we are launching a communication campaign in the Basque Country targeting this kind of customers with these advanced services, showing our competitive advantage in terms of closeness to the business customers. Turning to page 8, you will find a summary overview of the reported results compared with those at last quarter and last year. Our total revenue dropped by 1.6% versus the same period of last year, reaching 140 million euros in the first quarter 2017. As you can see on the chart in the middle, EBITDA was 68 million euros and our EBITDA margin has reached 48.8%, representing a 10 basic points growth versus last year. On the right hand side, you can see that our cash flow stood at 45 million euros, representing a growth of 5.2% versus last quarter, resulting in a cash flow over sales rate of 32.1%. On page 9, we present the split of revenue and EBITDA growth contribution by different segments. The chart on the left illustrates revenue performance in the last year, which has been mainly supported by the growth in the residential segment, approximately 1.2% year over year, on the back of increased number of RGUs, more than 3.7% year over year, and ARPU improvement of 1.7% year over year. This growth has been more than compensated for by the negative evolution of the business segment. approximately minus 8% year over year, mainly explained by the loss of the vast government contract. Overall, revenue decreased by 1.6% in the last 12 months. Similarly, the chart on the right shows the EBITDA growth contributors. The mentioned revenue decrease contributed 2.3 million euros of EBITDA drop versus last year. Our focus on direct costs has partially compensated this reduction with its positive contribution of 1.3 million euros to EBITDA, with a cost reduction of 3.7% versus last year. Additionally, a slight net effect of the commercial and fixed cost has resulted in savings of 100,000 euros. As a result of this, the EBITDA dropped by 1.1 million euros in the last year, representing a decrease of 1.5%, with EBITDA margin growing 10 basis points to 48.8%. If we were to isolate the 1 million euros one-off EBITDA impact from the host migration program, EBITDA would have remained flat at 69 million euros. Turning to page 10, the chart on the left side illustrates the evolution of our cost structure, which has reduced by 1.8% year over year. This was mainly driven by a 3.7% decline in direct cost on the back of savings in interconnection cost, despite data traffic growth of 67% driven by mobile lines growing by 9% and data traffic per line increasing by 53%. Trading and overhead costs remain flat year over year on the back of one-off increase of commercial costs given the host migration process. As a result, EBITDA margin stood at 48.8%. Moving on to page 11. The left hand side illustrates the CAPEX evolution, which is progressively converging to mid-term target levels, reaching 16.7% over revenue in first quarter 2017. It is worth noting that we are working towards minimizing the seasonality impact and achieve a more equal CAPEX level within the four quarters. This partly explains the higher CAPEX in first quarter 2017 versus last year. Let me highlight that our CAPEX investments in DOCSIS 3.1 technology have enabled to coverage of 14% of our client base as of first quarter 2017, with the target to double the coverage in the second quarter. If we zoom in the Basque Country, DOCSIS 3.1 coverage is expected to reach 42% in the second quarter. The chart on the right shows the evolution of the operating cash flow, which has strongly performed versus last quarter, representing a 5.2% growth. On a consolidated basis, operating cash flow for the quarter stood at 45 million euros, representing a conversion of approximately 32% over sales and approximately 66% over EBITDA. Turning to page 12, you can see that, as mentioned before, we generate an operating cash flow of 45 million euros in the quarter. Payment of financial interest amounted to 10.5 million euros, which jointly with approximately 23 million euros in CAPEX and close to 5.3 million euros from the change in working capital results in a free cash flow of 28.6 million euros in the first quarter 2017. This represents a 47% increase versus the free cash flow of 19.9 million euros in the first quarter 2016. After the payment of the interim dividend of 15 cents of euro per share, representing a total cash outflow of 22.8 million euros, leverage has remained flat at 4.2 times versus the last quarter. has already advanced a complementary dividend of 21 cents of euros per share will be paid once it has been approved on the annual shareholders meeting. And Patty, you want?
Yeah, thank you, Yonander. Before we start the Q&A session, let me conclude with a few relevant remarks. First of all, I'd like to reiterate that we have experienced a particularly challenging quarter, given some specific and extraordinary impacts of discounted commercial offerings and host migration. We expect that to be reversed in the coming quarters. In fact, trends of churn and net customers additions observed in March are supporting that view. As we have repeatedly stated, we believe that the right expertise, the best network, and the best product offering will continue to deliver attractive operational and financial results to our shareholders. And the plan is to continue with the strategy that has proven to be successful. But also, it is important to remark that we need to work hard in those areas where we think we can and we must do better, given the current competitive environment. We want to accelerate our development, and I'm happy to anticipate to you certain actions that will be taken in the coming months in order to reboost those areas that need more focus. In the B2B space, we'll be launching before summer a set of innovative bundles to capture new types of SME customers with enhanced functionalities. We will also be reinforcing our commitment to the enterprise segment with a communication campaign that is launching today. In the residential space, we will present in the coming weeks our new bundled offer, implying a higher value proposition. Furthermore, we'll be launching in May our new Android-based set-top box with 4K capacity and a new set of services that will become available to both new customers but also to existing customers willing to improve their experience. We're also accelerating our network upgrade to deliver the best quality service reflected in our DOCSIS 3.1 upgrade plan. As you heard Yonander say, by June, 42% of our Basque network will be DOCSIS 3.1 ready. These are only a few examples of the acceleration in new initiatives that will reinforce our strategy around listening, responsiveness, and innovation to our customers that we think will have a positive impact in our operating and financial results. I also wanted to confirm our commitment to the previous full-year guidance for 2017, which implies higher revenue and EBITDA margin than last year. We aim to position our company for enhanced value creation. Now, we will be very happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question today comes from Ricardo Boada from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two, if I may. First, in light of the recent price rises that we have seen in the Spanish market, like just this week, are you considering to follow? I believe that there's some price gap now to your competitors and also some gap when it comes to the amount of mobile data added. And secondly, can you please elaborate or provide a bit more color on the expanded bundles in Soho and the communication campaign that you're launching on B2B? And when are you expecting the revenue growth in enterprise to kick in?
For sure. So regarding your first question, remember that in terms of our price change, we were probably the first to make a price change that was announced before the end of last year, and we were probably the most cautious in terms of the price increase that we did. On top of that, the fact that January was particularly hard in terms of competition and the host move made it so that the price increase was not fully reflected. Now, having seen the latest announcements from our competitors, and we've already been working on a new revised offer that would be adding more for more to our customers, we are looking and we will be announcing in the coming weeks a revision of our bundle offer, which will follow two lines. One is it will focus on more for more, which will mean that it will increase the value of our bundles, but it will keep at the same time a certain level of choice to a customer so they can pick what they want without being forced to take products and services that they wouldn't have taken. In terms of mobile data, one of the things that we're building into the consideration of new bundles is the amount of mobile data, but there is nothing to announce at this moment. We'll be getting in touch with all of you in the coming weeks. Regarding the second element that you mentioned, we already have a number of products that are IT related and that we're selling to our customers. But what we have realized is that to reach a certain level of small and medium enterprise, that have less empowerment to do tailor-based solutions, we need to have some like pre-bundled solutions that are very easy to implement in those customers. That requires certain investments in terms of systems, in terms of getting the field force ready for that. That's what we have been working on in the last months, and that's why we're happy to say that will be the first bundle is going to kick off month of June. It's going to be the first step of several others that will be coming in Q2, Q3, and Q4. So to some extent, what I'm saying is that the enterprise space that you've heard us say has been a weakness is going to go through a ramp up every quarter. I think by Q3 and Q4 we'll be ready to be in a very solid position, and hopefully Q4 can reverse the enterprise trend in terms of decrease, and we can enter a moment of growth in enterprise space.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Giovanni Montalti from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking the question. I appreciate, you can comment on the negotiations. So just to understand, though, is there any, let's say, indication you can give us in terms of deadline for the negotiations?
Well, unfortunately, the answer is no, in the sense that conversations are ongoing. What we have seen is that initially in some of our meetings, I think I mentioned and I talked about a one-month deadline. We've realized that there's not a strict need of a one-month deadline because the company that is selling is not the company that is quoted in the UK Stock Exchange. But I can also say that, you know, our aim is to, given that we see an opportunity and given that I think we've had enough time to have all these discussions, we would like to go for a relatively quick conclusion in the coming weeks. So I don't think that should linger long.
The next question comes from Julio Arciniegas from RBC. Sorry, please, sir, go ahead. Julio Arciniegas, please, sir, go ahead.
Give me. Hello? Yes, in the last quarter results, the company mentioned that they expected revenue growth between 0 and 1%, and that basically the growth was coming in the following years. Can you give me some color in which are the drivers that they are going to basically use the company to improve the revenue trend? That's my first question. And my second question is related to fiber deployments. I believe that Orange in April went to the Basque Country and met some politicians over there and basically committed to some investments on fiber, further investments. Can you give me some update of how fiber deployments are moving? Do you see this as a risk for your business case? Thank you.
Yes, let me take the first question and Yolanda will answer the second. In terms of revenue growth and when that's going to kick in and what are the drivers, I think the first thing that is going to make it kick in is having overcome the host transition, the fact that the promotions are being slowed down. That's going to represent the first step in where we will be moving towards that growth. The second element is the new consumer proposal that I did talk about that is going to kick off in June. That's going to represent on one side an opportunity to grow because it's an attractive offer that I think is going to be very appealing to consumers. But on top of that, that's going to help us monetize even further because it will be based on a more for more proposition. Then the third space in terms of growth and the change of trend is going to come from a double effect of our new bundles and our new enterprise focus. We're already seeing that in the last month and even this month, we're seeing more SMEs coming in and contracting with us. So we're seeing a trend on enterprise that is becoming pretty positive. That's going to take time to show in the results as we implement and provision all these customers. But that's going to drive the change. Plus, on top of the fact that, as we did say before, the impact of the Basque country government is going to go down throughout the year. So Q1 and Q2 will have still the maximum impact, and then that impact is going to be going down in Q3 and Q4.
Okay, Julio, related to the fiber deployment, as you know, we have a comment and seen in previous calls that we were looking for opportunities and alternatives to expand our footprint out of our territories. During this period, we have been in contact with the main actors in this fiber deployment, and in that moment obviously we have advanced significantly with some of them in that sense. Now, as you have seen in the market, there are new agreements and type of that could give us the opportunity to grow beyond our footprint without a relevant capex. And we think that in the next quarter, probably we can be more clear explaining our plans to deploy our footprint out of our territories. We have an advanced plan done, and we want to explain it clearly, and obviously we are going to apply some of those initiatives during this this year.
The next question comes from Gianmarco Bonacina from Equity. Please, sir, go ahead.
Yes, good day. A couple of questions. First one is about still the remaining synergies from our cable, because we didn't see, I think, any net effect in the first quarter. I think there were about 10 million remaining. Can you please tell us what is the figure we should expect to hit the P&L net of maybe other impact in terms of cost? Related to this, I think you mentioned before, but it was not clear, what is your expectation for the EBITDA margin for 2017? The other question, if you can comment a little bit about what you think will be the impact from this agreement between Vodafone and Telefonica on the wholesale use of the fiber network. Thank you.
Okay. Gianmarco, related to the synergies, obviously the synergies continue on track. As we announced, the total figure of synergies that will be get in 2017 will be close to 23 million euros between OPEX and CAPEX, comparing with the previous periods to the acquisition of Aircable, and we are on track. Obviously, the effect of those synergies are going to be more clear on the operational margins that we are getting and we are going to get during the year, but there are not any negative impact or some fact that could be affected to the evolution of those synergies.
Thank you, Yonander. And regarding the Telefonica Vodafone agreement, I would say it doesn't make any relevant difference to the previous status quo in a certain sense. So, because we already expected having Telefonica and Vodafone and also Orange deploying in our entire footprint for 2018. So with this agreement, it could be a marginal acceleration on some of that, but not a game changer. I think, on the other hand, the new business structure with fewer margins and less capex gives less of a chance to a war price, and will put pressure on margins, which is something that might, let's say, help us. And finally, what I think is probably more interesting is that we're seeing these kind of agreements and opportunities opening in the market, and it's also an opportunity for us. So it provides us new ways of reaching out other regions and other areas, like I've mentioned a number of times, Navarra, but there are other places where we can provide our services in a much easier way with a more limited restraint or investment in terms of CAPEX.
But related to the EBITDA margin 2017, we keep our guidance and estimations that we announced previously that could recuperate approximately or increase 50 basic points in terms of margin for this year.
Thank you. The next question comes from Nuno Matias from Haitong Bank. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thanks for the questions. It's basically around churn, okay? Just looking at the year-over-year evolution, your margins, your EBITDA margins are more or less flat. And looking at your churn levels, it's more than 200 basis points of an increase in churn. I understand that in this quarter you had the one-off impact from the host migration. But you mentioned before that January was much worse in terms of churn than February and March. So can you give us some granularity on what was the number in January, what was the number in March, and if that's the kind of number, the March one, that you expect going forward, especially because I think you mentioned before that like each 100 basis points down on churn would be equivalent to 1 percentage points also increase in margin. So any help on the churn trends would be very helpful. And the other one on the CapEx side, that acceleration that you mentioned in some of your communication, some of your products, will that mean any change to the guidance, so that 16% to revenues target that you have for the year? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, so regarding the churn, churn on January was around 17.5%, and then churn in the month of March was around a 15% churn. And again, given the host change and so on, these levels were higher in Galicia and they were lower in the Basque Country. And the first indications we have for the month of April are imply a strong improvement. And I said it very clearly, like I'm not happy with those numbers we've had in Q1. So there's a strong commitment, and a lot of the initiatives we're putting in place are going back to that control of the churn. In terms of the CapEx and the acceleration, the answer is no. I mean, all these things and all these investments were already planned. So when we talk about 40% DOCSIS, that was already built in the plan, so it will not imply a change. Like I said at the beginning, the only change in terms of CapEx would have been if at some point during the year there's a limited expansion and that can bring an additional ROI, strong ROI, we would maybe spend something that would be below 10 million. But it's not the situation today, so there's no specific plan to go in that sense. Otherwise, we will stick to the CapEx commitment.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. There are no further questions in today's call.
Sorry, I thought I wasn't sure whether there would be any questions, so just let me conclude. Let me conclude after the Q&A session. I would like to thank everyone for your attendance. It's been a pleasure to be with all of you once more. All up, it's been a challenging quarter for almost the entire industry, but we remain confident that the situation is already reversing, and we're very confident that this will be reflected in the coming months and quarters to come. So I reiterate that we keep our guidance for the year, and we're working hard to accelerate the availability of new products, services, and innovation to our customers. We remain at your disposal through our investor relationship channel for any clarification that you might need. So thank you very much to everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This now concludes our conference call. You may all disconnect your lines.